In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Of all the miracles that Jesus performed in the course of his life, turning water into wine is, according to the Gospel of John, his very first. And John tells us that it's the miracle that revealed Christ's glory and caused his disciples to believe in him. And who can blame them? Yet the other Gospels don't even mention it. And most of Jesus' other miracles in the Bible, healing the sick, restoring sight to the blind, feeding the hungry, raising the dead, do seem to be more profound, don't they? They seem more important to us and to God. After all, if any of us is moved to make a donation to charity, we might choose one that cures blindness or fights hunger, we're less likely to find ourselves saying, "Oh, look, a charity that makes sure wedding receptions don't run low on wine. Honey, get my checkbook." That wouldn't get a whole lot of our charity dollars. It could be that the other three gospel writers were similarly confused about what to do with this miracle. Perhaps that's why they don't include it anywhere in their gospels. But in John, it's not only there, it's right up front. It's what caused the disciples to believe in Jesus. Now, they were already following him, so they must have had a pretty good idea of who he was. But after this, the gospel says they believed in him. Why this miracle? Why the water into wine? Why is this very different miracle given such a place of honor in John's gospel? Now, the church has traditionally liked to say that the water into wine miracle at the wedding in Cana shows that Jesus endorsed the institution of marriage. Possibly. The fact that he was there and was willing to help out shows, I would think, that he was at least not anti-marriage. But there doesn't seem to me to be anything in the passage to suggest the reason Jesus undertook this miracle was to put a stamp of approval on holy matrimony. After all, from this point on in the Gospel of John, Jesus doesn't say one word about marriage. And the Bible doesn't tell us that Jesus himself ever married. And tradition tells us that his disciples remained unmarried as well. So reading the entirety of the Gospel of John, it seems unlikely that preaching about marriage was a central pillar of Christ's ministry, or the reason he created all that wine at that famous wedding in Cana of Galilee. So if not an endorsement of holy matrimony, what then? What was the motivation behind this first miracle? After all, in this miracle, no one was healed, no one was fed, no one walked where they hadn't before, or saw or heard or breathed when they hadn't before. Not a single demon was cast out. I think the reason for the primacy of the water into wine miracle in the Gospel of John is this: God is interested in more than just our bodily needs. Of course, God wants us to care for our own and each other's physical health. God wants us to share what we have so that our fellow human beings, especially children, don't go to bed hungry. God wants us to help people to walk and to hear and to see. God wants us to work for and pray for and give thanks for healthy bodies. But just as important as the well-being of individual bodies is the health of the body of Christ, the well-being of the community at large. This is one of the reasons why we come together each week. After all, if it were simply about prayer, we could do that at home or in a coffee shop while enjoying a latte and a scone. But God wants us to come together so that we can not only support each other, but can celebrate together and share each other's joys and sorrows. This may sound scandalous, but I think Jesus could just as easily have changed water into wine at a bar mitzvah or a village harvest festival. What Jesus was blessing was not simply the coming together of two people in legal matrimony, but the fact that the community in that place was gathered together to celebrate life, both present life and future life. That's one of the reasons the church baptizes in the middle of worship on a Sunday morning, so that the community can celebrate its present life and its future life. That's why we love to see that baby coming down the aisle after her baptism, not simply because she's adorable, which she usually is, but because in that moment we are celebrating through the baptism of that child our future life together as a community of faith. You may have heard of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, wherein psychologist Abraham Maslow suggested that our needs as human beings have a certain priority to them, with things like breathing and eating being the first rung on that ladder, going up eventually to things like moral behavior, respect for others, etc. Because as the American Lung Association used to say, if you can't breathe, nothing else matters. But in turning water into wine, Jesus actually starts his ministry quite high up on that ladder. We know Jesus was intimately concerned for the poor, and when people were hungry, he fed them. He didn't speak to them about how to improve community relations. When a disaster strikes, no one sends in conflict resolution experts. They send food and water and medicine. But from the very beginning of his ministry, Jesus never strayed far from what he told Satan in the wilderness. One does not live by bread alone. One can survive by bread alone, and sometimes survival is what matters. But it is not the only thing that matters. Jesus wants us to survive, but he also wants us to live. And we do not live by bread alone. We truly live by following Christ's command that we should love God and one another, and that we should gather together to pray, to grieve, and to rejoice. To be together in times of celebration as in times of grief, to eat and drink and sing and laugh together, this is the manner of life Christ adorned by his presence and first miracle at the wedding in Cana of Galilee. We who count ourselves as his followers ought to follow his lead and not just look after the physical needs of those around us, but also comfort those who mourn or are afraid, and rejoice with those who celebrate, so that individual survival may be transformed into shared lives. You may have heard it said that to be a solitary Christian is a contradiction in terms. If that is true, and I believe that it is, then Jesus may have endorsed this belief on that very day at the wedding in Cana of Galilee, where he turned water into wine and the people rejoiced and the party continued on into the night. On that day, at that celebration of life in Cana, the people did more than survive. They rejoiced together. That's what Jesus blessed. Amen.